This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Excellent. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. We're not going to read what Jeff Johnson read last week, but we're going to take up where he left off last week. And as you turn there, in Acts chapter 2:42, that's not where we're turning, but in Acts 2:42, it says, they committed themselves to the apostles' doctrine, or the teaching of the apostles, the fellowship with one another, the breaking of bread, or the common meal, as they call it, and in prayer. And a vital church grows because of these things. And I truly believe that God has put here at Prayer of Faith the opportunity to grow in His Word and to grow His people and to minister to His people by doing this. This last week, we kicked off the Prayer of Faith Connect Bible study groups. And what fascinating responses we're hearing back from those that have attended, those that are hosting, those have had it in their home, whatever. And we continue on the next couple weeks having those. But this is a great opportunity to connect and to do what Acts chapter 2 says, continuing on in learning and studying His Word, fellowship with one another, breaking of bread, and in prayer. And I believe that is where we'll find growth in ourselves as well as the church. And again, I'm not always talking about a financial growth or a growth in numbers, but I'm talking about just our true growth to help one another and to be able to help others. And I think that's a fascinating thing. And I truly believe that's part of God's plan to grow this church and to take it from where it started. Good path has been laid out, and we want to continue doing that by adding these opportunities to grow. Amen? I wrote down here, if you're not in, you're missing out. So I just thought that was real cute. So if you're not in, you're missing out. If you're not in one of the Bible studies, I get that schedules are very busy. But it also says you have time for God. So look for those opportunities. So the next 2 weeks, today and next week, we're going to be talking about living in the fullness. And I thought, how great was that? We practiced a song today, and it says, release the fullness of your spirit. And there's many opportunities to live in the fullness, and there's many opportunities to miss out on living in the fullness. When we talk about living in the fullness, Dr. Johnson, he read verses 8, 9, and 10 last week and then talked about it. And he said, we are to be Christ-like, and therefore we're to think, examine, and reflect often so we can be Christ-like. Think, examine, and reflect. Where are the opportunities that we missed? Where are the opportunities that we can grow? Where are opportunities that we can just start? So when we do that, there should be things to start, stop, and continue or grow on those areas in our lives. And I love that. And he gave us three questions. And by the way, if you didn't write that down, there's opportunity on the back of your bulletin or notebook or whatever. Think, examine, reflect. Write those down if you haven't. Because I think they're important in the life of a believer to say, where are we? Where do we stand in our relationship with Christ? And I don't think we can truly get an idea if we're not doing those three things. And then the three questions he gave us, and he said, especially the pastors, ask them. Which nobody's asked me. Have they asked you, Eric? Okay, nobody's asked us. That's great. I'm sure prepared for an answer, but he said also be prepared when they ask you the same question. And the questions are, what has God put on your heart? What has God put on your heart? When was the last time it got really thin in your life? And then question number three, which I love, how then shall we live? In other words, what's the next step in our faith journey? How then shall we live? So we're going to pick up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. And it said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, in the spirit of Dr. Johnson's last week's message and continuing on, and by the way, he didn't know I was preaching on this, and I didn't know he was talking about the few verses before that, but God works that way. Let's think, examine, and reflect. Just look at verse 10, the very first verse we read. Everyone take a look at that real quick. When you go beyond just reading what's on the page and grow to comprehension of what's on the page, that's where spiritual growth lies. When we go beyond reading that, I know we've discovered in the Bible studies I've been attending over the last several months that oftentimes there's something I've read tons of times, but then all of a sudden it comes alive to me. I'm like, I've never seen that. I've read it, but I've never seen that in those words that I read. So if you look at that first line, going beyond that, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. It's not just reading that. It's reading what did they do continually. And as you read different scriptures, you will see, I a bondservant, I a slave to my master, I an apostle. And they state what they are over and over and over again. And he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Underline in your Bible, rejoiced in greatly. By the way, teenagers and others, it is okay to write in your Bibles. That's not destroying a holy document. God wants you to use that thing where you know what's going on in it. Make those notes, highlight it, outline it, write notes out to the side. Good Lord, Pastor Eric's Bible and Kish's looks like they've written a whole other novel next to it. They have so many notes and highlights and colors and markings. And I think that's great because there are things that they've picked up and learned along the way that were helpful to them and in turn has become helpful to others, including myself. It's okay to write in your Bibles. Many of our young people received Bibles in King's Kids. And when they found out they could write in it and highlight some things, they were pretty tickled about that. Now, of course, they said, wait, I'm not done writing. And you know how quickly they write, of course. And highlighting. Wait, I'm not done highlighting. And then they want to read you everything else and highlight everything. So I told them one of the things that I do in highlighting and underlining and what I find important to that, maybe it's helpful to them. But I want you to underline, if you haven't already, rejoiced greatly. When we talk about living in the fullness, it's looking to see, what did these guys do? How did they receive the full life? Well, of course, they were walking with Jesus Christ. I can't have that full life because I can't walk with Jesus. Uh-oh, what? Watch what you say. You can walk with Jesus, and you do and should walk with Jesus every day. We do not have the same journey necessarily where we physically see him standing next to us, teaching us face to face as Jesus. But he still is very much in our lives today. So we have to find opportunities. Remember, not obligations. In obligations, we don't rejoice in the Lord greatly. But in opportunities, we rejoice in the Lord greatly. So we have to look for those opportunities we can do that. As Christians, many times I think that we skip or just simply miss those opportunities to rejoice in Him because we don't see the beauty of it. We're having a little garage sale. My wife has too much stuff, so she needs to get rid of it. And so we had a little garage sale yesterday. I'm in trouble for that one already, I can tell, right out the gate. But there was someone that came by and said, "Do you have any ties?" My wife said, "No, we had some, but he donated them and gave them away and gave some dress shirts away. They were just too fancy for me." Not really, they were much too small, and I've grown too big for them. And the same thing pretty much with ties. They just don't fit around us anymore. And I said, "Oh, what'd they want them for?" And the gentleman said, "I want to teach young men how to tie ties and how to go on interviews." And I said, "Oh, I got ties. I don't care whether I wear them or not. He can have some of my ties. How many does he need?" 10. Okay, great. "He just needs 10? Well, 10 to 15. Here's 15. Call him, tell him we have them. They're on the front porch." So we pulled in and she ran outside and said, "I want to meet this guy and find out about him." So I said, "What do you do?" Because I was curious, is this school? Is this church? What, is this a mission thing? What is it? And it's in a school setting that he does this, and it's in a small town outside of Oklahoma City, a little ways away. But at any rate, what great opportunity I had to rejoice in what he was doing. And we'll see at the end of this that my giving him those ties was a benefit to him, but it was a blessing to me, and it's a two-way street. And we have to look for opportunities to rejoice in the Lord greatly. And I found great reward and rejoicing in knowing what he was doing and knowing where those ties were going. A simple thing, teaching a young man how to tie a tie. And then going beyond that, teaching them how to do interviews and go on interviews. And I was very excited about that. But we can miss that because it was an obligation grabbing 10 ties, throwing them out there and going, "Here you go." There are opportunities. What are you doing with these? Once I found out he was doing something special with those. We don't want to miss out or skip those opportunities to rejoice. There's been some amazing sunsets and sunrises this last week. Don't miss the opportunity to see God in the beauty of those things, even in your drive to work. As Christians, we become baptized. In Acts, it talks about being baptized and being full of the Holy Spirit. And receiving the Holy Spirit. And I feel sorry for the Christians that had a tough baptism. And I'm not talking about the cold water sometimes. I'm talking about the baptism in the lemon juice. It makes us bitter. It makes us a sourpuss. It means we have crabby and cruddy dispositions. Our face doesn't know that we're happy and full of Jesus Christ. Because there's all that lemon juice on it, making us frown. Our words don't reflect it. They're mean and insulting. They fill our mouths. Negativity fills our outlook on life. But I'm here to say that when we find Jesus Christ, that's transforming power. And that's the opportunity to push that stuff aside. And quite frankly, as Christians, it's time to put it aside. It's time to lay it down. Jesus Christ would be shocked if he showed him and said, "You've known me for how long? And you're still carrying this." It misrepresents God when our life is lived that way. That type of fullness is wrong, and it's harmful to our faith, to our family, our friends, our churches. And we cannot be full of that fullness. The true effect of Christianity, in all honesty, is what? It's love and joy. We have the fruits of the Spirit. God is love. There's different passages in the Bible that talk about the fullness of joy. And we'll talk about that this week and next week. John 15:11, if you want to jot that number down, don't flip there, but just write it down. John 15:11. says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. And," oh, there's a plus, "and that your joy may be full." Now, I've preached on that a while back. I remember that. But a reminder doesn't hurt. "That my joy may remain in you." We don't want to accept Jesus Christ, find that joy, and then poof, it's gone like a smoke ring. He says, "I say these things. I've spoken to you that it may stay in you and remain in you and abide in you." And not just that, but that your joy may be full. Living in the fullness. Look for opportunities to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 10. Rejoice in the Lord greatly. It's more than reading the words. It's trying to look at them closer to say, what are they telling me to do? Think, examine, and reflect. Verse 11. Wow, we're just past the second verse, or just into the second verse of rereading this and looking at it differently. Look closely at verse 11 again. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Wait, what? "I have learned." Didn't come naturally. "I have learned in whatever state I am." You guys hearing that? In whatever state. Not just when I'm in the best state the Lord can give me. When I'm in whatever state, to be content. So first thing says, rejoice in the Lord greatly. That's going to be keys to living in the fullness. Rejoice in the Lord and do it greatly. Number two, learn, be a constant learner, in whatever state you're in, to be content. If you don't mind, in your Bible again, underline whatever state and underline be content. There'll be reminders that stick out to you no matter what you're going through. When the financial trouble comes, when the health trouble comes, when the relationship trouble comes, when the work or employment trouble comes, when trouble itself comes, in whatever state you are in, be content. Find contentment there. Find contentment wherever you are. And Paul's contentment comes from verse 13. Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." I was going to point out today that that's Megan Bean's favorite scripture, or used to be at least. And Megan Bean's here today, so let me scratch that out. But I remember that. I said, "What's your favorite verse?" And she said, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." That was many years ago you told me that, Megan. Many years ago. And I remember to this day. That's where his contentment came from. Being content, knowing that Jesus Christ strengthens him in his weakness and in his troubles. Look for opportunities and ways to be content. In verse 14, 15, and 16, he says, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. And it says, for in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Living in the fullness, they did this by sharing in others' distress. There's a lot of opportunity in this world to give to different organizations that are helping people in their distress. In Haiti right now, again, lots of opportunity for aid there. No church. No church shared in giving and receiving but you. One church helped them out. And that was the church that he's talking to. And it said, you sent aid. As we have opportunity to do good, do it. The Bible tells us that. Look for opportunities to give to others and share. Now that giving to others could be your time. It may be your talent and your knowledge. It may be finances. It may be possessions. Maybe something as simple as a necktie. But look for opportunities to help others and to share and to give. Verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. To live in the fullness, we're not seeking the gift. Many of us are doing things still looking for that gift. Now the Bible tells us when we do good, we'll be rewarded. I get that. But if that is our sole motivation, we're missing it. And that's where we miss out on the fullness. We find the fullness when we do things because it's the right thing to do. When we help others because it's the right thing to do. My Lord, go on YouTube and Google or Google and look at those different options and just put faith in humanity restored and see what you find on there. Jeez, my wife says, it's 2 a.m. What are you doing? Nothing. Go back to bed. I'm sobbing for 2 hours watching this stuff. Why? Because I want to see faith in humanity restored. And I'm amazed at the little acts that people do. Young people, Lordy, what a heartbreaker. Us old folks, we should know better. And we should do good. But watching young people do good for others, you think that's a fascinating young person. In sports, in school, just out in the public. There's opportunities, young people, to do good. Look for it in your schools. Us older folks, there's plenty of opportunities. Not that I seek the gift. And many of us are looking for the good deed reward. Or the accolades that come with it. And they come less and less often these days. So on the flip side, when you have opportunity, thank people in your life. Write down a note, if you would, Galatians chapter 6. We're not going to turn there, but Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. We covered that last week in King's Kids, talking about sowing to the flesh, you shall reap corruption. Imagine, of course, their minds, as I said, sow to the flesh. They're like, oh, needle and thread. I said, no, different sowing to the flesh. But explaining that, and it says, when you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption because of that. And it talks about doing good. It says, let us not grow weary doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. I've preached on that as well. Continue to do good because it's the right thing to do. And it does say, especially to those of the household of the Lord. Let us not grow weary. Paul, it says here, is full because what others have done for him. He has found his contentment. I've learned in whatever state to be content. He's been both full and hungry. And he knows in both those situations he can be content. In Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ gives him strength. The Philippians are also full. So Paul is full because what they've done for him. They've sent him aid. They've received him. But he tells us also. Verse 10 I believe. verse 10. I'm sorry, I'm way out of whack. Verse 15, he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed, no church shared with me. They give to him, and then he gets back, and the Philippians get back also." He said in verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So he says, your needs will be met. Your needs will be met. You will be full as well because of what they are doing. What Paul has done for him, what Jesus Christ is doing, and how they treated him, they will also be full. There's a mutual care for one another going back and forth. He watches out for them, they watch out for him as they have need. And in the beginning it said, you've done this again, your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, they just didn't have the opportunity to take care of him because he wasn't with them then. So now that he's back, man, the care can flourish again. You sent me things and I appreciate that, he tells them. So not wanting to leave anything out and anything to chance, we don't want to forget the very ending of Philippians. So in verse 21, let's read that to the end. Verse 21 says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus." It says, "Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you as well. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Greet others. Live in the fullness by greeting others. Take the opportunity to see them, to greet them, to welcome them. When people come in our church that are visitors, we want to welcome them. And hopefully we do. We've heard that for years, that we are a welcoming church. Greet others, bless others. Pray for others that they and you may live in the fullness as well. I mean, it all kind of sounds simple. But just in the short scripture, as we break it down a little closer, we see exactly what Paul's doing when he's writing this letter to them. He's rejoicing. As a matter of fact, if we go back just before what Dr. Johnson read last week in chapter 4, verse 4, what does it say? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." We can probably write down that, "Let your gentleness be known to all men," because some people, that's kind of secret for some of us. And they don't see that gentleness in us because it doesn't come out of our mouth that way. And it doesn't come across our face that way. And it doesn't come across our driving that way. They don't see us as gentle people. I'm just saying. And sometimes that's me. I'm just saying that also. Think, examine, and reflect. In James chapter 1, verse 22, write that down also. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Do not just be hearers of the word." Don't just read it, don't just hear it. It says, "Be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Or otherwise you deceive yourself." Now what does that mean? That means it goes on to talk about the man that's looking in the mirror. And the man sees himself in the mirror and he goes, "Oh, okay, what a good looking guy." Walks away and all of a sudden can't remember who he was and what he looked like in the mirror. It's because we just talked about that spirit of gentleness and being the gentle person, let it be known. We looked in the mirror, we were gentle to ourselves. Looking good, Adam. And we walk away and we forget who we are, and then that's when our mouth is full of those words. Our life is full of negativity, and we verbalize that and talk about how negative things are. We talk about how bad everything is or how bad everyone else is. We have that look on our face that just doesn't quite say we're happy people and we're joyful people and we're full of Jesus Christ. Don't just read His Word and don't just hear the Word. Do it. And that's what I was saying earlier. When we start comprehending those words as teachers, my teachers that I'm aware of, when students just aren't quite getting it, and then there's that comprehension day, and the light bulb goes off, and you're thinking, hallelujah, they got it. That's a great time. Those, to me, are opportunities in our Bible study here Wednesday night, and our Bible studies outside of church, our connect groups. Those are opportunities to delve into things. You guys could raise your hand and say, amen, but I'm not going to call on you while we're doing a sermon. So those are opportunities to learn to have that back and forth time where it goes both ways. Where we can read something and try and find ways to be doers of what we just read. In John's epistles, he encountered false teachers. Lordy, you're starting a new church and there's false teachers. Imagine businesses that have a different offices or different stores or whatever. We found that. Hey, here's the way we do it. But each store kind of tweaked it and did it their own way. Starting the early church was the same way. Here's what we teach and preach. Here's what we know. We walked with Jesus Christ. And then we come back or we hear these things that say, oh, you're preaching this and you're teaching that. It's not quite accurate. Not quite what I taught you. So I've got to come back and show you some correction here. And in his John's epistles, he's talking about these things with false claims about their knowledge of the deity of Christ. Their false claims about the nature of Christ. He said, this is not going to be tolerated. We're going to put a stop to this. Part of our nature also seems to be where we've grown or inflated our relationship with Christ, maybe. I got a great relationship with Christ. You walk away and you forget who you are. You've overinflated your relationship with Christ. To me, that's false teaching as well. Because we're teaching ourselves that that's acceptable. And that's okay. And it's not. And I'm not here to judge any of you or myself. I'm here to say Jesus Christ is going to judge you. But His Word says we're to be Christ-like. We are Christ ambassadors. And again, think about this as we've talked about it before. How do we represent Him? With our words and our actions and our sourpuss face? Ugh. Sometimes I would think He'd want to fire us. I don't need you ambassadors anymore. This group, go away. But we want to represent Him the best we can. We want to live in the fullness. And when we do these things, you'll find our joy increases. We want that increase in joy. We want the increase in love, feeling loved and expressing love and showing others love by caring for them. Turn quickly, if you would, to 1 John chapter 1. And we'll close with this. 1 John 1:1 in a sermon. We'll close with this. If the pastor is accurate. Sometimes he says, we'll close with this. And I've heard sermons go on for another 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, what was that line? Just a wake-up line, I guess. But truly, we will close with this today. In 1 John chapter 1, it's at the very end of your Bible for those that are new to the Bible. And that's okay to let people know you're new to the Bible. Just a little bit before Revelation there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have even seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 4. That's the part I really want to talk about. It says, "And these things we write to you, why? That your joy may be full." I don't want any false teachers coming in and pulling away from living in the fullness, teaching you that something is acceptable or something is this way when it is not. I want you to live in the fullness and find the fullness of Christ Jesus and have the fullness of joy and love. You know, I love this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen, we've touched and put our hands on. And that's what I love about the Guatemala Mission House. I can tell you, Megan can tell you, Haley can tell you, Eric can tell you, Mark can tell you. These things that we tell you, we've put our hands on it. Some just for the photo op, but we've put our hands on it. We have done these things. We have mixed the sand and the rock and the water. We have lifted the block. We've cut the block. We've laid the block. We have met these widows. We have met their children. We've been there. And that's what he's saying right here. I walked with Jesus Christ. I learned from him. The things he taught me, I bear witness to. I saw them. I touched him. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And in closing, I have one homework assignment for you. Teachers, do you ever do that and ruin their day by saying, "Here's your homework"? But I have a homework assignment for you, church. Read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. Read 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5 through 10. And for those still clicking their pens and getting their paper, I'm going to read it one more time. Read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 10. And when you do, I want you to think, examine, and reflect. Oh, and then I want you to reflect on the three questions Dr. Johnson asked last week. What has God put on your heart? When was the last time life got really thin for you? And especially number three, how then shall you live? In other words, what's your next step in your faith journey? How then shall you live? Now, for some of you, it's baptism. The next step is baptism. For some of you, it's rededication. For some of you, it may be salvation for the first time, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For some of you, it's finding a way to serve in the church or to serve others outside of the church. For some of you, it may be forgiving someone or people or groups or family members. For some of you, it may be giving and or tithing differently, studying differently. For some of you, it may be rebaptism, saying, "I was baptized in the lemon juice and I'm done with that and I want a cleansing. I want to be rebaptized." That would be for you personally. What is it in your life that's preventing you from living in the fullness? Because Christ Jesus wants you to live in the fullness. And that's a tough thing when you think about what's preventing me from living in the fullness. And then when you discover what that is, the next thing is, well, now what? I don't want to get rid of that. I don't want to stop doing it. I don't want to stop hanging out with them. I don't want to stop doing this with them. I don't want to stop going here. Well, then continue living in the emptiness. But he doesn't desire for you to be there. And he doesn't desire for you to stay there if you happen to be there now. There's got to be a step that you take when you're tired of living in the emptiness. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we just desire to know it better, to study it closer and deeper. God, we want to live in the fullness. Your word tells us that we can live in the fullness, that we should live in the fullness when we follow you. And in reality, the true sign of Christianity is a transformed life. God, that transformation comes through the power of Jesus Christ and not ourselves. The true effect of Christianity, as we mentioned, is love and of joy. Lord, today I simply ask that we read the scripture that I gave out. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5 through 10. That we think, examine, and reflect, and then answer those questions and make a step. God, we thank you for the work that you're doing in this church. We thank you for the work that you're doing in the individual lives of this church body. Lord, we prepare to celebrate 30 years of prayer of faith at the end of this month, and we thank you for that. We ask that as we celebrate that time, that we glorify you and we give glory and honor to you for the opportunity that we've had over the last 30 years. Lord, be with us now as we depart from this place, that we remember who we are when we look in the mirror and when we walk away, that we're children of God made in your image to be Christ-like and represent you as ambassadors of Christ. We do that through our actions and our deeds to one another and our words towards one another, and ask that you guide all of those things that we do. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.